I asked the session what they would like me to preach on, and one of the things that came up was the topic of anxiety and overcoming anxiety and anxieties as shown in the scriptures. And so this morning, the text that I chose for that is from Psalm 94. Psalm 94, and I ask you to turn there if you would. If you drop down to verse 19, this is the reason I've chosen this psalm, is this verse here, where the psalmist says, "In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul." And so I'd like you to look at some of the anxieties that the psalmist has, as well as the comforts that he has in this text, where we're going to be focusing in particular on verse 19, but look at Psalm 94 for some general context there. Beginning in verse 1, Psalm 94, "O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth, render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked, how long will the wicked triumph? They utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, 'The Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand.' Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge? The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment will return to the righteous, will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense, and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off." Now, as we're looking at anxiety, let's just start with a definition, first of all, because this is very helpful to me, anyways, as I think about this topic. And this is just a standard kind of a combination of a couple of dictionaries. But it says there, anxiety is a feeling. All right, so we're in the realm of emotions or feelings. That's where we are. It's a feeling of worry or uneasiness or nervousness. And here's the part I want you to remember out of that. Okay, nervous, feeling, usually over something. All right, a perception of an impending or anticipated evil or misery, some difficulty, right? So there's two parts to it. One is some feeling that you get, and then there is some circumstance that is seems to be that you're thinking about might come into your life or definitely will come into your life, and that you don't want that to come into your life, and therefore you have this feeling of anxiety. Here's an article where a woman was writing about anxiety in the newspaper, and she says, I'm a woman in my 30s, and in the article she had said that women in their 30s, that's kind of a peak anxiety, both by gender and by age, right? So what she says is, as a woman in my 30s, I'm thinking about how triggering my environment feels as this doctor is explaining to her about where anxiety comes from. And so she says in her, as she's thinking about these things in her mind, what if my mother dies unexpectedly, right? Circumstance, mother dies or could die unexpectedly, not that it's on the horizon or anything, but, and then what? Feeling arises from that. Or another one, what if I run out of money to pay my rent, right? Potential circumstance, run out of money to pay the rent, causes this feeling anxiety, all right? So then, you can see there's two different causes. And so if we're going to talk about anxiety, what I'd like to try to do is hit as many of you as possible. And so I'd like to hit you where you live. With respect to what you might be having anxiety about, which hopefully is not the pastor striking you, all right? So then, what I'd like to do is I'd like to think about some of these causes, right? So if we get the cause sorted out, then it's going to help us when the anxiety comes, okay? So maybe to put it this way, point one in your sermon, if you feel anxious, when you feel anxious, you need to get behind that, according to our definition, and say, what's the circumstance that I'm worried about, okay? Or as David Powelson, who's a Christian psychologist, Christian counselor, says, you want to name the cause or the circumstance. Okay, now because I'd like to try to do this as broadly as possible, what I'd like to do then is talk about some theology of those circumstances, right? So then, I want you to take your hymnal, and I want you to look in the back on page 942. Page 942, and we're going to try to summarize as many of these circumstances as we can that lead to anxiety. So here's page 942. Now, when you get to page 942, you'll find question 27 there, and I'd like to look at questions 27, 28, and 29. Okay, he's trying to summarize as much of this as we can. Okay, now, what it's talking about, the context here, is that Adam and Eve, of course, ate the forbidden fruit, and therefore the fall came into history. And the question is, what kinds of circumstances that cause anxiety now have come into the world? Now, that's not how it says it, but that's the same content. What misery did the fall bring mankind? Okay, the fall brought upon mankind the loss of communion with God. Okay, so just stop there for a second. So if you're in the circumstance where communion of God is lost, should that generate anxiety in you? Right? That's a good question. Okay? And then the fall brought God's displeasure and God's curse. If a person realized they were in that situation, does that bring anxiety? So that results in being by nature children of wrath, bond slaves to Satan, and justly liable to all the punishments in this world and that which is to come, right? So if you had a realization of that situation, ought that to generate emotions like anxiety? And I would say, yes, okay? So then what that ought to drive you to do is then say, okay, how can I have peace from that anxiety? And the answer is, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ has caused us to be reconciled to God. His sacrifice has given to us peace with him so that we are no longer under his displeasure. We are no longer under his curse and these kinds of things. We have regained our communion, right? So you can see that having those circumstances and understanding those circumstances, that anxiety can help drive us to look for a solution. Now, go back to Psalm, just go back in your mind to Psalm 94. In Psalm 94, notice what the psalmist said. He said, I have anxieties, but when I have those anxieties, your blessings or your benefits comfort my soul. See? So the anxiety is caused by circumstances. If you want the anxiety to go away, you need to contextualize those circumstances in a bigger way according to the scriptures, or, to put it this way, you need to proclaim the gospel to yourself. Now, remember the psalmist. What was his situation? Here's his situation. The wicked are, look, Lord, the wicked are oppressing the innocent. The wicked are oppressing children. The wicked are oppressing, and they're getting away with it. What is it about the good news of the gospel that the psalmist had to keep proclaiming to himself? Well, does God not see? Of course God sees. Does God not hear? Of course God hears. Is God going to bring ultimate vengeance and justice upon the wicked who are outside of Jesus Christ? Yes. You see how he comforts his soul with the good news that there will be justice at the end of history for those who are persecuting God's people. Right? He's comforting his soul with that situation. He also comforts his soul with eternal life, the fact that he has eternal life. And you can see similar things in the scripture. So that's all right. So that's question 27, just an overview of that. Now, question 28 is really when people talk about anxiety, and I'd like to be freed from anxiety. This is really more of the kinds of problems that we're talking about, even for Christians. And what it says there is punishments of sin in this world that might cause you anxiety are, first of all, inward, right? And so, if you perceive that, hey, I have a blindness of mind, might that cause you some anxiety, right? I was talking to somebody last week, and I mentioned that, you know, you talk to people, and as you talk to them, you know, they say something really interesting, and you'd like to comment on that, right? But you, of course, are a polite person, so you wait till they're done. Okay, so you wait till they're done, and how many of you have waited till they're done, and then you forgot what you wanted to say, right? Now, I don't know if that's blindness of mind, but it is a little anxiety generating, right? Because I'm pretty sure it's not going to get any better, right? I'm pretty sure that in my life, as I do that, it's going to, and so you think about, okay, what's the comfort in that situation, right? So there's an example, right? It says there a reprobate sense or a rejected sense. And that sense there is talking about emotions, right? So wicked people have emotions that God rejects, right? So or they're under strong delusions or hardness of heart or horror of conscience or vile affections, right? Okay, so there's inward things that can cause you anxiety. There's things associated with your heart, right? And again, if you look at it from the big picture, the really big picture, if your heart has difficulties, where's the solution for your difficulties of heart? It's only in Jesus, isn't it, right? So I can think, all right, let's suppose I can't conduct a conversation like I used to because I can't remember. But I'm pretty sure in heaven, when you talk to me, when you get to the end of your what you want to say, if I want to say something, I will remember what I want to say, right? Because I will be restored to what God has for me in Jesus Christ. All right, so that's what would comfort your heart in that situation. Okay, how about outward? Outwardly, it says there is a curse of God upon the creatures for our sake, and all other evils that befall us in our bodies. All right, so then, have you ever had anxiety about things that happen in your bodies? Right? Ever had any of that kind of anxiety? Okay, pain or impending pain, physical death, threats to your life, physical security. When you think about those circumstances, what are the bigger circumstances that give you context that cause that anxiety to go away, or at least are very minimized, right? So then, you might say, look at Luke 12. Luke 12 says, don't be anxious about what you're going to eat. Why would anybody be anxious about what they're going to eat? Well, because if you don't eat for long enough, what happens, right? Your physical self is threatened, right? Your body is going to die. What's the comfort in that situation that takes away the anxiety? The comfort in that situation is death is, there is no sting in death anymore. Jesus Christ has had a victory over it, and he has had a victory over it for you. Okay, continuing on there. Let's see. Okay, names. What about, all right, so it says here, the evils in this life, or the punishments in this life, are things like your body on the outward side, right? So bodies. Then the next is your name or your reputation. Okay? So then, what happens to people's reputations in this life? You get dishonored. You get rejected, maybe. You experience shame or disrespect, right? So that might be one way it manifests itself. And might it be anxiety causing to think that your shame might be made public, right? So I don't know. I can't imagine. I don't know why in the world anybody Twitters, right? Because if you, it sounds like, I've never done it, so this is probably why. It sounds like if you say something stupid, you are rained down upon by a million people. I just don't want that in my life at all, right? I have no idea why somebody would do that, because I'm pretty sure it would happen to me fairly frequently. And it's just not something I'd be looking forward to, right? So at least, okay, the easy solution for that, right, is don't get on Twitter. But there are other things, okay? So you think about community. Now, there are lots of you, I think, that if you get an invitation to a party, or you have the opportunity to have a party, you have the opportunity to go to a party, all of a sudden anxiety is starting to build up. And you're like, I don't want to go with all those people. I don't want to be visiting with all those folks. I don't want to have to put on my public face that, I don't know, has perfect conversations and is really witty and is up on everything and whatever else you think might go into all those social occasions, right? And you think, that's just causing me to be anxious just thinking about it. Now, there's others of you on the other end of the scale who, if you don't get invited, then you start to get anxious, right? You're like, what is it about me that they're not inviting me? Why am I not going? And thinking about all the things that you might miss out on that, right? But at any rate, associated with name is respect from other people, or it's associated with being in the midst of other people and enjoying that. Another aspect of it, of course, probably some of the more central aspect of it, is your reputation, right? Okay, how have you performed morally? And what if it comes out, right? Does that cause you anxiety to think about it? And what do you do in that situation? You have to proclaim the good news to yourself. God knows me better than anybody, and God has forgiven me for that. And God is strengthening my heart so that over time, that's going to more and more minimize itself. And then when I go to heaven, when I'm glorified, I'm going to be completely separated from that, right? So that when you're thinking about these things and the anxiety comes up, you go, proclaim the good news to yourself. Proclaim the good news to yourself. Proclaim the good news to yourself about that thing, right? So whatever that is. And do you have honor in Jesus Christ? Do you have respect in Jesus Christ? Do you have glory in Jesus Christ? And the answer to those things is yes. Or what about perhaps a very mild form of what was going on with the psalmist, slander? Right? So are you anxious about being slandered, or is you anxious about the possibility of being slandered? Then where do you come? You come to the good news associated with your reputation, right? Think about the churches in the book of Revelation at the very beginning, right? Where things like, you're going to have a white robe, or I'm going to give you a stone on which a name is, right? Or I'm going to give you a name which no one knows. And all those things are meant to show to you and reflect upon you glory that belongs to you in Jesus Christ. And when you take that comfort and you put it against the circumstances that might cause you anxiety with respect to your name, then you can see that anxiety going down. That's what we're looking at from Psalm 94:19. All right. So then the next thing on our list here, besides name, it talks about estates and employments, right? So, will my project be completed? If it does get completed, will it get completed on time? If it gets completed on time, is it going to be a success, right? And people can begin to think about those circumstances and become anxious over them, right? Or what if, as this journalist had, financial concerns? Am I going to have enough savings? Am I going to have too much debt? Am I going to have unexpected bills? What about my rent? Right? That's what she was concerned about. Okay? Now, okay, let me stop for a second here. There are some times when most of us would say, you know, somebody comes to you and says, well, I'm anxious about making the rent. Okay, the first things you want to do is you want to just try some other things about being responsible as a Christian, right? And if you want to, and in order to do that, you need to have strength in the gospel, right? Some people do. So you ask yourself, okay, have you been maxing out your charge cards, right? Now, that's a different sermon, right, where you've got to talk about those kinds of things. But if that's what the cause is, then you need the other sermon to why are you maxing out your charge cards, right? Or do you refuse to work? Or what about getting a roommate? You know, I mean, all those kinds of things. Or there might be something we talked about body earlier, right? So your body has anxiety, and one of the things that your body might have anxiety for is just, you know, the medical literature says, well, if you drink caffeine, that might cause some people to be anxious. Or if you take certain medications, that might cause certain people to be anxious. And what do you do for that situation? Well, you go to the doctor, right? I'm not saying the gospel is everything here in that sense where you might say common sense comes into play. So you want to do both of those kinds of things. But I really want to center our hearts on the gospel associated with those things. Okay, so bodies, names, estates and employments, so we've talked about those kind of things, relations, okay? So, does it make you anxious when you think there might be conflict, or that you're not loved, or that you're concerned for your family's welfare, or you've lost love, or you've lost friendship, right? Or the potential for those things happens. All of those things can generate anxiety, can't they? And so what do you do? What you say is, what does the gospel have to say about my relationships? See? And one of the things the gospel says is God promises to every one of us a perfect family forever, right? Or perfect relationships with people in heaven forever at glory. And we get a taste of that. Excuse me, we get a taste of that now. And so, yes, sometimes we have these conflicts and all those kinds of things, but the way we comfort our souls is that we understand who we are with respect to that circumstance. Or maybe put it another way, or to add another thing to that, when we have conflict, one of the things that the gospel does is it helps us to understand the steps in the scripture for reconciling or for minimizing that conflict, doesn't it? It talks about how you can have knowledge and not have love and still stir up more conflict, can't you? There are tongues that have knowledge and they're like a knife when they go into somebody else's soul. And the gospel helps us not to be like that. Or the gospel says, if you've offended your brother, then what can you go do? You can go and say, I've offended you and I did that and I confess that. And lo and behold, what happens oftentimes in those relationships? They get reconciled. And so the good news of the gospel, that we have that kind of understanding of those things, or the working out of the good news of the gospel, that we have those things available to us, helps us to minimize those kinds of anxieties associated with relationship. All right, so then I kind of skipped over inward. Let me just go back to that, because what are some of the things that you might have anxiety about inwardly? So what it was talking about is the derangement of a soul, right, because of the fall. And part of that derangement of the soul with the fall is that people forget what life really is. You remember when we were reading through Luke chapter 12? Don't you know that life is more than just about food? Okay, well, somebody says, all right, I get that life is more than just food. So then, am I really living my life in conformance to what my purpose ought to be? You might be anxious about that. Am I living the kind of life that is a satisfying life, that is the truly satisfying life, right? So Jesus said, I came to give them life and to give it to them abundantly. Am I experiencing that? So you might, well, what's the way to calm that anxiety when you say, I wonder if I'm experiencing abundant life? Well, you come back to what the gospel says, for instance, and the gospel says, this is life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Right? And what's the only way to know God that way? Is through what Christ has done in saving us. He's saving us. He is restoring our hearts so that we can know him. Or the prodigal son. The prodigal son goes off, right? And then he comes back. And when he comes back, what is his father? How does his father characterize that situation? This my son who was dead is now alive, right? And why? What's the difference? The difference is now he's come back to his relationship with his father. So you say, well, I wonder if my life is really living the abundant life. And the answer is, well, are you knowing God more? And do you have a relationship with God? That's what Jesus is speaking about as those things. And why do you have those things? Because of the glories of Christ who has forgiven you. And so you can see that you're taking those circumstances that belong to you in the gospel and you're applying them to the circumstances that are causing you anxiety, or you're contextualizing those anxiety-causing circumstances, and that causes that anxiety to go down and go away. All right? And then, of course, you can do what the psalmist does, which is pray, right? So many of you, when I said anxiety, especially if you've ever experienced that to the point where you think, man, I need some Bible about that, have probably thought about Philippians, right? So Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God. And peace will come over you in that situation, right? Because hopefully, one of the answers to that prayer is that God will contextualize these those things as to what he's done in the blessings of the gospel. And so, let me show you a couple of places in the scriptures where it shows these kinds of things also. In 1 Peter chapter 4, maybe I'll just give you one a little bit more extended example. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. When you turn over there, the first sentence is, beloved. Oh, that's a good start right there, right? So Peter says, to you whom I love, do not think it is strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. So if you're reading Psalm 94, and you see here the psalmist is being oppressed by the wicked, Peter says, don't think that's strange if that happens to you. All right? Well, that's going to cause some anxiety right there. If you might start thinking, okay, wait a minute, I'm a Christian, and Christians ought not to think it strange, which means it happens to Christians on a regular basis. Now what he says, rather than have anxiety, in verse 13, rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, right? What he's doing is he's saying, he's contextualizing these for you, right? If you're being persecuted for the faith, those are suffering similar to what Jesus was persecuted with, okay? So you should rejoice in that situation. And why should you rejoice in that situation? See, here's the circumstance that takes away the anxiety. When his glory is revealed, you will be glad with exceeding joy. So when Christ comes back, you will have joy that way outweighs anything this suffering can bring to you. Or in verse 14, if you're reproached for the name of Christ, right? So we talked about name, right? Your reputation, causing your reputation to be lost or to be maligned or something like that might cause you anxiety. Well, here it says, if you're reproached for the name of Christ, you are blessed. See? Okay, Peter, what do you mean by that? What he means by that is the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. See? If you're persecuted, what do you know for a fact, Peter says? The Spirit of God must be with me. And is that a blessing or is that not? He says that's a blessing. And if that's a blessing, then what you can do is you can take your anxieties and you can have them contextualized by that. Okay? Now, one more thing I hope that would be helpful in this situation is people who, you know, you heard the journalist use the word trigger, and oftentimes people in our culture today are using that, meaning this kind of sense, something in their environment hits them, and they almost immediately have an emotional response, right? In this case, maybe anxiety. And so what we want to do as God's people is that and that can happen to God's people, can't it? It can happen in places where it's almost an automatic response when certain circumstances happen to you, right? Especially like if you've had bad experiences associated with something, like a smell comes into your life and you, for whatever reason, all of a sudden you remember bad circumstances and that triggers something in you. Or an event or a sound or a sight or something like that, right? That might happen. What we want to do at that case is if your soul is acting like that, you want to begin to be able to bring the gospel into your heart in almost the same habitual manner, in almost the same instinctive manner, right? So what you want to train yourself with is if that almost immediate anxiety, you want to try to help yourself remember and pray and ask, the next time that happens to me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to think about this verse immediately. I'm going to think about this circumstance immediately in the gospel that causes my anxiety to go down in that situation. And so that's pretty much what the Bible has for you, is that when you have anxiety, especially the anxiety that comes from the persecution of the righteous, what you want to do is proclaim the aspects of the gospel that tell you that those circumstances, there is a bigger set of circumstances around them. There is a gospel set of circumstances around you that comfort your soul. And when you do that, you will experience what the psalmist says, that in fact, you will move from anxiety to delight as you meditate upon those things. Let's pray together. Father, we know that there are many who in your body have difficulties that cause them anxiety. Perhaps they feel extreme pain, or death is threatening, or that relationships are not good, or many other things that we heard about here today that cause us anxieties. We pray, Father, that you would pour into our hearts that Christ has overcome death, and that Christ has reconciled relationships, not just with you, O Father, but with us as your people together, and that you have blessed us to experience glory at your return, and you have blessed us to experience peace that passes all understanding when we bring these things to you and you pour out these truths in our hearts. And so we ask, Lord, that you would help us to understand the circumstances of the gospel that minimize anxieties when we experience them. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.